God, we just thank you for your word. Jesus, we thank you that you are the author and perfecter of our faith. You're the pioneer, the one that ran the race in front of us, and you clear the way for us and bring us along. You're the one that's going to bring us to the end. God, we give you this time. Lord, I ask that you give me your words to speak, to go out with your power. God, we ask that you'll give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to understand what you have for us. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, so you want to put that living as a disciple picture up there. So we're talking about living as a disciple of Christ. And sometimes when we talk about these things that God is calling us to do and to be, to grow more like Him, I think for all of us, we probably look, and it doesn't matter where you're at in that continuum, probably all of us are like, man, I wish I was doing more. I wish I could do more. In fact, I heard a pastor as he's preaching about this. He says sometimes when we go through like these spiritual disciplines and stuff like that, we can have this like downward gaze because we're like we see like our deficiencies and we see what we want to do. And so he brings up this verse from Lamentations where he says this is so important for us to remember. Okay, get this: the Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease; His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Okay, that's where we get that. His mercies are new every morning. So you see, as God is calling us to walk in this life of discipleship, following after Jesus, that He is wanting us to remember that we can rest in His grace. We can rest in His loving kindness. That His mercies indeed are new every morning. Is that working? Perfect. Thank you. I will. You too, man. Okay, so today in the part of living as a disciple, this is what we're talking about. It's really simple, okay? It is just, let's pray. Let's pray. Let's be people of prayer. And so today, what I want to do is, we're going to read from a passage from Colossians chapter 4. So if you want to turn there, go ahead and do that. We're going to read this exhortation to be people devoted to prayer. And then what I want us to do is, we're going to look at different passages in Scripture to encourage us to pray, that show the power of prayer. And you know what? Prayer is not a formula. Okay, it's not like a vending machine, like put enough prayer coins in and you get what you want. That's not what it is. There is a mystery to prayer, right? Okay, like God is sovereign. He controls things. He knows what's happening. He doesn't like repent or change His mind. So like how does prayer work? We're going to kind of wrestle with that. But the conclusion is, let's pray. Let's be people of prayer. Because this is what God is calling us to do and to be. So let's go ahead and look at Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. And here's what he says, okay? Devote yourselves to prayer. Keep an alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the Word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been in prison, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Let's just leave this up here for a little bit, okay? When you think of the word devote, what comes to mind? If somebody says devote yourselves to something, what is, describe that for me. What do you think? Anybody? Invest in it. Good. What else? Concentration. Good. Anything else? What does it mean to be devoted to something? What was that? Study hard. Okay, yeah, invest in it, concentrate in it, study hard. It has this idea of steadfastness, of perseverance, of not growing faint in walking it out. Like you have this task in front of you, and like, I'm going to keep going, keep going, keep going, okay? It'd be like you're running a marathon, and you need to have this devotion to it. I mean, like, a lot of people can do like a 100-yard dash, okay? Even if it's not so dashy, right? We can like make it, okay? It may take us half the day, but we can do that. 26.2 miles? Not too many of us have done it, because I haven't. Okay, I know I can't raise my hand of one who's done that. But it takes devotion to do that. It's that I'm going to keep pushing through. And so the Apostle Paul here is saying, look, we need to be devoted to prayer. He has the idea of keeping constant attention to it. Keep it continually in front of us. And so this is the challenge that's given to us, that we would be people that have prayer constantly and consistently in front of us. He says we're supposed to keep alert in it. Okay, that's a word that means to be awake. Stay awake. Keep going with prayer in an attitude of thanksgiving. And then he gives some things he wants them to pray for. Pray for us, that God will open up doors. You see, there are things that we can always be praying about. And then if we were to skip down a couple verses to verse 12, he gives an example of somebody whose name is Epaphras. All right, can we put that up, the next slide? That is this example of somebody who is a man of prayer. Here's what he says. Epaphras, one of your number, someone from Colossae. He's a bondslave of Jesus Christ. And he says, he sends you his greeting, and here's what he's doing. He is always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers. That's where we get that word agony or agonize from. He's contending. He's agonizing. He is entering the contest. That's what that word means. He says, look, now I want you to be devoted to prayer, and here's a man who is. He is constantly and consistently wrestling in prayer for you. Why? That you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. And so here's a challenge for us, okay? That we should be people of prayer. But I want to ask us a question, okay? Why should we pray? We're going to wrestle with this today. Because here's kind of the end point of it, okay? I've got this little handout for you, okay? Don't pull it out yet because you'll get distracted by it, I think. Okay, but here's just ways that we can pray. We're not necessarily going to cover all of this in the sermon. We're going to have the sermon that's kind of motivating, and then here's some tools that you can use to grow in your prayer walk. Out of today's sermon, I want us all to take the next step in being devoted to prayer. What's that next step for you? It may be different for one person than somebody else, but that we would be people of prayer. Why? Colossians 4:2 says, be devoted to prayer. It's not the only place in Scripture. Romans chapter 12 says, be devoted to prayer. In fact, that word be devoted is in the New Testament 10 times. Half of the times, it's about being devoted to prayer. And then one of them is the apostles were devoted to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayer. So there's really 6 of the 10 that are all about prayer. Being ready to be people of prayer. Being people of prayer. Why else shall we pray? The needs are great. How many of you have something going on in your life right now that is a great need? Yeah. And if you don't have a great need now, it will probably come sometime, or you know somebody personally that's going through something that there's a great need. And prayer works. Again, this is one of those mysteries of prayer. Like, how does it work? It's not a vending machine. It's not like pray enough times, put enough quarters in the vending machine until you get enough, and then you push the right buttons and you get exact. That's not it. But we see in Scripture, God works through the prayers of His people. He just does. In His sovereignness, in his wisdom, God works through the prayers of His people. And God can accomplish way more than we could in way less time. You know, sometimes it's like we are up against a wall like this, and we just are like running in the wall, trying to get through the wall. And God's like, the door is over there. And so we need to go, God, where are you moving? How are you working? How can I join you in that? I want to get through this wall, and maybe I'm doing all my effort and energy, and God is like, the door is open over there. Ask me to open it for you. I'll let you in. And so God works through the prayers of His people. He can do way more than we can in much less time. So here's what I want us to do, okay? We're going to look at a passage from the book of Exodus. Because we get some of the mysteries of prayer. God works through His people. He wants us to pray. How does prayer all work? You know what? I don't have it all figured out, but I do know that God is calling us to pray, and He works through the prayers of His people. So let's look at this. Exodus chapter 32, verse 7. Okay, this is a context of this. God has given His people the Ten Commandments. This is how you are to live. They heard the voice of God, and they said, we will do it. Moses went up on the mountain for 40 days, and they're like, man, we don't know where Moses is. Aaron, make us a god. Yeah, it's bad. Okay? Because just like 40 days before, God's like, you shall have no other gods before me. And they said, okay, we're in. Moses is gone for 40 days. Aaron, make us gods. And so they do. And so the Lord said to Moses, they're at the top of the mountain talking. He says, go down because your people, whom you brought up out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They've been quick to turn away from what I've commanded them. And they've made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They bow down to it and sacrifice to it and have said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. Then he says, I've seen these people.
They are stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them, and then I'll make you into a great nation. So God is like Moses. They're rebellious. I'm going to destroy them. Get away from them and I'll make you into a great nation. That's what God said. He told Moses, this is what I'm going to do. And how does Moses respond? Let's look at it. Moses sought the favor of the Lord his God. He said, O Lord, why should your anger burn against your people whom you brought out of Egypt and with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say it was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to wipe them off the face of the earth? God, turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster on your people. He continues on, remember your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give your descendants all this land I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever. Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. So here's the, God is like, Moses, step away, I'm going to destroy them. Moses prays, and his prayer is bold. God, don't do what you said. God, remember your promises. Keep your promises. Forgive, relent. And God does. Now, did Moses change God's mind? We look in Scripture, and Scripture is very clear that God is not like a man that he needs to repent or change his mind. So what's going on here? As I look at it, it's like God knows Moses, and he knows what Moses is going to do. If I come to Moses and I'm like, Moses, this is what's going to happen. Moses is going to cry out for me to keep my promises, and in response to his prayer, I'm going to keep my promises. That's how I read it. That's how I look at it. Now, what if Moses didn't pray? I want to ask God about that. Like, what if Moses is like, okay, it's hopeless. I'm not going to pray. I mean, like, God is going to keep, he's going to do what he wants to do. He's going to do what needs to be done. But here's just one example of God working through the prayers of his people. And do we have to understand exactly how or why or what would have been different if Moses wouldn't have prayed? Would God have, we don't have to understand it. We don't have to fit God in a box, but here's what we get. God wants us to pray, and he works through the prayers of his people. What do you need to be praying with boldness about? God, remember your word. God, remember your promises. That we can step into the shoes of Moses. Because again, why should we pray? Looking at the next slide, God can do so much more than we can and in much less time. In the book of James, James chapter 4, James writes this, okay? He says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it, so you kill and covet. You cannot have what you want, you quarrel and fight. So he's talking about these disagreements, but then he's going to shift it to prayer. He says, you don't have because you don't ask God. Like, he's telling them there's things that you're not asking for in prayer, and so you don't have. Have any of you ever done that with your kids, or is it just me sometimes? That like, I know what they want, and I know what they need, but I want to teach them to ask. It's okay to ask for help. We have to do that sometimes. Are you asking, or are you telling? Do you have something you want to ask? Because here in Scripture, he says, look, you don't have because you don't ask. Prayer is important. God works through prayer. Now, it's not just ask for whatever you want and get it. Why? He says, but when you ask, you don't receive because you ask with wrong motives. You may spend it to get in on your pleasures. So again, prayer is not like, if I ask, I get. Okay, there are passages in Scripture that say, ask and you'll receive. But that doesn't mean that everything you ask for, you're going to get. Because there's things that kind of qualify what that is. Asking rightly. What does it mean for us to ask rightly? Is that the next slide? Can we throw it up there? Ask rightly. Okay, this is from Richard Foster, his book, Celebration of Discipline. He says this, to ask rightly involves transformed passions, total renewal. In prayer, real prayer, we begin to think God's thoughts after him, to desire the things he desires, to love the things he loves. Progressively, we are taught to view things from his point of view. You see, when we pray, sometimes we get the thing we're praying for, we're asking for, right? Not all the time. But prayer is always going to change our hearts. Because as we're praying, God wants to work in our heart so that our desires line up with his desires. But he is calling us to pray. And he does say to James, there's things you don't have because you don't ask God. And then when you do ask, you have the wrong desires, the wrong motive. So how are we to pray? Okay, this is as I look at it. How are we to pray? Because Scripture says, whatever you ask, you'll receive. Whatever you ask, abide in me. Whatever you ask, according to my will. There's qualifications there. But here's how I look at it, okay? We are to pray with an audacious, trusting, submissive, bold, and thankful persistence. I know that's a lot of adjectives. But we are to pray with an audaciousness, trusting God, submissive to His will, bold with the spirit of thanksgiving. We're commanded all throughout Scripture as we pray to thank God in the midst of what we're going through. And a persistence. I don't know about you, but it can be very easy to pray about things sometimes and then just kind of stop. And sometimes God wants us to keep praying, keep pushing through. A persistence until Christ returns. It's in His name, according to His will. Now, where did I get this from? Okay, I didn't just throw that out there because it sounded good. So go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Luke. We're going to be in Luke chapter 11. And the verses right before this is Jesus' disciples have said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. John the Baptist taught his disciples how to pray. Will you teach us how to pray? And then that's where Jesus gives them the Lord's Prayer, right? And again, the Lord's Prayer is not just like repeat these words verbatim over and over again, but it's showing like a pattern. We're recognizing God's holiness and who He is, and we love Him, and He's worthy of everything. We're asking Him to provide for our needs. We're realizing that we need forgiveness, and we need to forgive others. And then right after that, He tells this parable about prayer. Here's what He says. Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Okay, how many of you, what would your response be if somebody knocked on your door at midnight because they wanted food? Like your neighbor wants, can I have that cup of sugar? Right? At midnight, you're like, come tomorrow morning, right? But here's the thing. This is hospitality was very huge in that Middle Eastern culture. So this was like a shameful thing to have somebody come and visit you and you don't have food for them. And so the guy's like, I don't have food, but I know my neighbor does. And he's my friend, so I'm going to go wake him up and he'll give me food because he's my friend. But no. The one inside says, don't bother me. The door is locked. My children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. You see, it's like often like one room house, everybody's sleeping in the same place. So in order for the man to get up, he's got to like crawl over all his kids. The animals could be in there on like the lower half in order to get this guy bread. Okay, next verse. Jesus says, I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he's friend. He's his friend. So they're friends, but their friendship isn't good enough for him to do that. Yet because of this man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Now that word boldness is not a great word to translate the Greek word behind there. A better word is actually 2 words, shameless audacity. Because you see, here's the picture. He's not just knocking at the front door of the man's house, willing to wake up everybody in the house. More than likely, he's at the courtyard outside, willing to wake up the whole neighborhood to get what he needs. And this is how Jesus says, so I say to you, ask will be given to you, seek you will find, knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be open. And then he says this, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Or in Matthew's account, he says, give good gifts to those who ask him. So, in this parable, we get that bold, audacious, shameless audacity prayer. This is an attitude God desires us to have in our prayers, that we beseech God with a shameless audacity. I know my need, I know your power, so I'm coming to you because I know that you can fulfill. Now, is that the only way we pray? No, there's other passages for us to look at. But I think for us, that's probably one of the things we don't focus on so much in prayer, is that willingness to be audacious in our asking. Not because we want something selfishly, but because we're willing to go to our Father, asking Him, trusting Him. Go ahead and flip a couple chapters forward. I think it's Luke 18. Yep, Luke 18. I love when the writers do this, okay? Often the parables are just out there, and then we've got to like kind of figure out why did Jesus say it and all that. Well, here it's like,
Jesus told his disciples this parable to tell them that they should always pray and not give up. So we're like, that's the moral. That's what we're supposed to focus on. Pray and never give up. That's what this means. Jesus said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. Great judge, right? Hates people, doesn't care about God. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. Where are we at now? Grant me justice against my adversary, okay? And for some time he refused, because again, he doesn't care about justice, he doesn't care about God, he doesn't care about people. But finally, he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about people, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, keeps pestering me, she's here every day, I will see she gets justice so she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. That word picture for wear me out is like to be like beaten and bruised. That's what it is. That's what she was doing to him by coming to him every day. So he's like, fine, go ahead. I'll give you justice. Now here's the interesting thing, okay? Jesus says, listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? You see, God is not the unjust judge. He is perfect and holy, and he cares deeply for people. But in here, Jesus told this parable to teach people to pray and not give up. How often did the widow feel like, why bother? This judge hates me. God loves us, right? The word used to describe the widow is a word we don't use like ever. It's importunity. Okay, not opportunity, importunity. Anybody know what that means? I didn't know what it meant. If somebody is full of, have importunity, it means persistence to the point of annoyance. That's what it was. She was persistent to the point of annoyance. Now again, I think in both these parables, Jesus is kind of taking it to the nth degree, but he's showing us, a lot of times we pray and we stop. I do that. And in these two parables, he's saying pray and keep praying. And that's why I think God wants us to pray with a persistence, with a boldness, an audaciousness, but it's also submissive and trusting. Because just because you're persistent in prayer doesn't mean you're going to get what you want. If it's not God's will, then I think your persistence in prayer will change your heart in the process of it. Let's continue unpacking a little bit about prayer. Because you see, here's the challenge for us, that like, let's pray. Let's be people that pray. And maybe our prayer life needs to start out with this. Maybe we got to go, God, will you give me a desire to pray? Will you give me the faith to pray boldly? Will you give me a focus to my prayer? Will you give me perseverance to keep praying? God, will you give me an attitude of thankfulness? That even when we're struggling through hard things, that we go, God, what do I have to be thankful for? What can I remember about who you are and what I am in the midst of this trial that I can be thankful? Maybe this is your first baby step, praying for God to help you to pray. And then the next challenge is when we start to be people that keep praying. So to encourage us some, I want to go through just some stories of prayer that illustrate this bold, audacious, submissive, trusting, thankful attitude God wants us to have. First of all, Abraham. God comes to Abraham, and this is when he promises he's going to have a son the next year, and then God is kind of having this conversation like, should I tell Abraham what's going to happen to Sodom? And he's like, yeah, I'm going to tell Abraham. You see, Abraham's nephew Lot lives in Sodom, and the city is so horrible, God's going to destroy the city. And he tells Abraham that, and Abraham goes, God, will you destroy the righteous along with the wicked? Like, is that what you're about, God? And God says, no, I won't. And Abraham says, well, God, if there's 50 people, 50 righteous people in that city, will you destroy the whole city? And God says, no, if there's 50, I won't destroy the city. And then Abraham's like, God, what if there's 45? What if there's just 45 people that are righteous in the city? Will you destroy the city? And God says, no, if there's 45, I won't. And then Abraham goes from 40 to 30 to 20 to 10. And if you, we're not reading through the whole thing, but if we read through it, it kind of gets annoying because we're like, Abraham, just ask him. That's importunity. He's asking, and God answers. Instead of going, okay, God answered, he said 50. Like, well, what about this? And Abraham gets to 10, and God says, yes, for the sake of 10 righteous people, I'll spare the whole city. And then Abraham, he stops.
God couldn't find 10 righteous people in the city. And the city was destroyed. Now here's the cool thing. As I look at this, I think Abraham has two pleas. One, God, rescue the righteous. And two, God, Lot is there. My nephew is living there. Will you save Lot? That's his heart cry. That's what he's asking. And what does God do? God couldn't find 10 people, so he wipes out the city. But who does he rescue? Lot. Lot's wife and his daughters. Now, Lot's wife didn't make it out. She looked back, became a pillar of salt. But God rescued Lot. We learn from this, God knows how to rescue his people from wrath. But we also learn from this that God can take our prayers of persistent annoyance. Because Abraham's like, God, if I may be so bold, like I know you said yes, but I'm going to ask for more. Like God can take it. He's not put off by it. And God can answer the prayer in our heart, even if it's not how our words come out. In Romans chapter 8, Paul says this. In the same way, the Spirit helps in our weakness. We don't know what to pray, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance to God's will. So here's what's happening. Abraham is praying to God, and God answers the prayer in Abraham's heart. Rescue Lot. Even though he didn't say that, God knows. Right? And so when we pray, even if our prayer is like, we don't quite get it right, like God's Spirit can intercede. And to me, that's such a blessing. Because, yes, I want to pray rightly. And I want God to change me. But in the process of it, if it takes me time to get there, God's Spirit can still work. What am I called to do? What are you called to do? Pray. Pray. To be people of prayer. Here's some other stories we get. We have, God, if you want to just put all four of them up there. So we have Elijah praying for rain. Like, he prayed and it didn't rain for 3 years, and then when it was time for it to rain, he prayed and there was nothing there, so he prayed again and there was still no cloud, and he kept praying until he saw a cloud form, and he's like, okay, it worked. By the time he got down the mountain, it's pouring. We have the Canaanite woman, like, she came to Jesus and said, will you heal my daughter? And Jesus said, I'm sent to the sheep of the Jews. And she's like, and he said, why would I, you don't take the food from the table and give it to the dogs. And she says, even the dogs get the crumbs. And he says, your faith is great. She's healed. And I don't think Jesus was trying to reject her. I think he was teaching his followers a story. But you see her faith? Even the dogs get the crumbs. You're right. Your daughter's healed. How about blind Bartimaeus? He's blind. He's on the road. He hears this commotion. What's going on? Jesus is coming. Jesus, like the Jesus, like the one who heals Jesus. Yes. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And everybody's like, shh, quiet. Don't bug him. Shh, quiet. And he'd go, okay, I guess I won't. No, he got up and yelled louder. And Jesus calls him over and he heals him. Now, these are all stories that we see people praying and being bold and persistent, and they did get the prayer answered how they wanted. Does that happen all the time? No. Does that mean we don't pray? No. It means we pray. And it means we pray trusting God. And how do I know this, okay? Because again, we're to pray with an audacious, trusting, submissive, bold, thankful persistence. Well, let's look at that trusting and submissive. Do you know the best narrative from Scripture to show that? Jesus Himself. I mean, you can't get more in the will of God than Jesus Christ, the Son of God, right? You can't get someone praying with like more, asking more rightly than Jesus. And what is His prayer in the garden? Let's look at it. Matthew chapter 26. Jesus turns to his disciples. He says, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Then he went a little bit farther, fell on his face, and here's his prayer. Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. If there's any way I don't have to go through the cross, and not just the cross, but like receiving all of God's wrath for sin, if there's any other way, but I trust you, I'm going to be submissive. That's bold, that's audacious, right? I mean, like, the whole reason he came to earth was to save us. And he's like, that's bold and audacious and submissive and trusting. And then what happens next? He returned to his disciples. They're sleeping. Could you not keep watch with me for an hour? Watch and pray so you won't fall into temptation. The spirit's willing, but the body's weak. He goes away a second time and prays, My Father, if it's not possible for this cup be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. Then he came back. They're sleeping again. So he left again once more, prayed the third time. So here's Jesus in the garden. We throw that picture up here. Agonizing in prayer. Audacious. Persistent. Trusting. And God, in His sovereign grace, all-knowing kindness, says no. And we know the answer. Why? Right? If Jesus isn't dying on the cross for our sins, what hope do we have? But you know what? Sometimes when we pray, we don't always understand why God says no. But that's why we're to come to Him with a bold, persistent, trusting, submissive, not my will, but your will be done. It reminds me of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians. Paul says this, to keep me from becoming conceited because of their surpassing great revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. I pleaded three times with the Lord to take it away from me. I don't think it means he just prayed three times. I think it's going back to Jesus, right? Like, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, and what did God say? Here was the answer. It wasn't the answer I wanted, but it was, my grace is sufficient. It's enough for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Sometimes when we pray, this is the answer God gives us. Yes, sometimes are we rescued out of it? Does a prayer get answered exactly how we want to? Yes, but sometimes this is the answer. And that's why we pray with a trusting and submissive heart. So Paul says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. This is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. It's like in the book of Romans when he says that we know with confidence that God will cause all things to work together for good to those who love Him, those who have been called according to His purpose, whether the answer is what we want or not. We're still called to pray. And I believe that as we pray, God wants us to pray until there's an answer. Where He answers in a way we see, or He answers, my grace is sufficient, or we recognize this isn't His will and we can let it go. But we are to be people of prayer. So what does this mean? Let's be people that pray with an audacious, trusting, submissive, bold, and thankful persistence until Christ returns. How do we do that? Now this is when you can pull this out. If you didn't get one of these, there's a stack here and I'll put it out there. Okay? We're not going through all of this, but here's kind of what I got. The front and the back kind of go together, okay? Can we put up that next picture, okay? We're not going to get into all these, but here's a way that maybe your prayers can grow. Okay, without these pairs, devotion to prayer fades. Okay, I didn't come up with this. Okay, but and it's unpacked more here. But you see, there's times when our prayers are like free, like it's just whatever comes to mind, we pray. And it's when we're by ourselves. And sometimes it's just like, I have this need and it comes out. It's spontaneous. Okay, that's kind of all the left side. And the right side is more of the like discipline of prayer. Maybe you're really good at praying at certain times during the day or every day at some time, but that like throughout the day, spirit of prayer, you struggle with. You want to grow in your prayer? Seek to have let God grow you on both of these. And again, we're not getting into all of it, but there's resources here. On the back of it are just different forms of prayer. And the reason why it's forms is because that free and formed, okay? And and there, on here, there's just different ways. If you want to grow, you want to try to pray differently, here's different ways that you can pray. In our church bulletin, there's requests there. Barb also cycles through like everybody in the church and the leaders and the elders and the kids. So like if you just take that, you'll pray for everybody in the church over the course of a certain time. There's resources and ways that you can pray. Because here's the thing. In our quest to live as a disciple, let's pray. Let's be people of prayer. Let's not quit when it seems hard. Let's not just go, oh, whatever, it doesn't matter. I understand sometimes in our seeking to trust God, we go, I know God's got it, so I'm just going to trust Him. Good. But I think even in the midst of, I know God's got this, and I'm going to trust Him, God still wants to hear our heart. He still wants us to pray. So what is it that God is calling you to pray about? And what's the next baby step that you can take? And maybe you pick some of these here, just to mix things up to help you out. And the one thing, when I was talking to Pastor Adam, and I forgot to put it on here, and you can ask him about it, okay? But he makes one of his prayer times all about being thankful. How can I be thankful in the midst of what I am praying about for this person? Where can I find the thanksgiving? And it's changed his prayer life. The inside of it, this is really focused on, as we seek to live the missionary life, things that we can be praying for people and for ourselves to help us share our faith. Okay, I had already created this and I thought, hey, we'll make a good booklet. Front and back, this is kind of new stuff. This is stuff that you may already have. But even if you have it, you probably forgot about it because it happens, right? So here's the thing. Let's take the next step forward in prayer. We'll start that right now. While our praise man comes on up, let's close the sermon in prayer. God, I pray you'll make us people of prayer. God, I pray that you will help us to be bold and persistent in our prayers. God, help us not to be afraid to be persistent to the point of annoyance. God, will you grow our faith? Will you shape us and change us? God, will you help us to pray with a boldness and an audaciousness, being trusting and submissive? God, as we wrestle in prayer and we wrestle with you, will you grow our hearts and change us? But God, as a church, we want to be your people. We want to do your work. And so, God, I pray that you will do a work in each and every one of us to draw us closer to you. God, I pray for those in our community that don't know you. God, I pray that you will draw them here that they may know you. Help us to be ready to love them and point them to you. God, will you bring the workers and the leaders and whatever we need to be your church to do what you've called us to do. God, I pray for the families here that you will rebuild relationships, that you'll empower and equip parents and grandparents, God, that you'll help kids to grow in you. God, we're powerless without you, and so we come to you and we trust you and we say, God, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you, so God, will you give us the prayers to pray and help us to pray? Thank you for Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who has come to save us. Jesus, thank you that right now you intercede for us, you're praying for us. And we rest in you. In your name we pray. Amen.